darkness of this world that Jesus says in the not stop at the cross. It's pointing forward to the crown. And the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And then it says of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end on the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish it and uphold it. Jesus came first as a suffering servant to die on the cross for our sins. But one day he's going to return as the reigning king. One day, he's going to sit on the throne of David and rule with justice and righteousness, and his kingdom will be marked by peace, real peace. One of the things you hear so often today, we've heard it for many generations, peace. We're signing another peace treaty. This group's signing a peace treaty here, and there never is any peace. In fact, the scripture tells us that. They will cry, peace, peace, peace on every hand, and there will be no peace because they're trusting in the wrong place for peace. They're not trusting in the Prince of Peace. Notice he's coming one day, and his kingdom is going to be marked by peace, by real peace, lasting peace. And yet Jesus also said that the kingdom of God is in your midst right now. That means that his reign doesn't just wait for off out there when Jesus is going to come again. It begins now in your heart when you surrender your life to Jesus as Lord and Savior. So here's a simple question for you. Is Jesus Christ King in your heart? Understand this. Somebody's King. Maybe it's your job. Maybe it's mom or dad. Maybe it's you that you put as king, the one who's in control, and you say, I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm going to live the way I want to live. As we've been studying in the book of Romans, there comes a time and a place where God turns us over to our choices and to the judgment that comes with that. Before that, he's pleading with you to come to him. He's sharing with you his word. He's appealing to your heart to turn by faith to him. But sometimes there are those who continue to turn their backs on God and say, I'm going to do it my way. And you keep on doing that long enough, God says, okay, I'll let you go your way. And you become like the prodigal son, who took his inheritance. The father said, okay, son. He kept pleading with his dad to give him that inheritance. And he gave him that inheritance, and he goes off and he spends it in riotous living, doing all kinds of things. He's got all kinds of friends as long as he's got money. But when the money's gone, the friends are gone. Because they weren't really there as a friend. They were there just for the money, just for the good times, or what they thought were good times. Until that prodigal son finds himself in the muck and the mire of the pig pen. And he's laboring there, and he's sweating there, and he's stinky there, and he's covered with mud, and he's wallowing there in the mud, having to clean out the mud, the muck there in the pig pen, and he finally comes to himself. He comes to that place where the Spirit of God works in his heart, and he finally realizes, my way was the wrong way. He comes to himself and he says, I'd be better off if I was back at my father's house as a hired servant. If I was just one of his lowly servants, I'd be better off there than I am right here. Let me ask you, are you there this morning? Are you in that pig pen? Because of choices you've made in your life, you've turned your back upon God, and you are living now in a spiritual darkness. There's hope for you this morning, because the light of the truth of the Word of God is still there for you. Is Jesus King in your heart? Because when Jesus Christ reigns in your heart, there is peace on the outside, not the absence of trouble, but the presence of trust. There's righteousness when you trust in Jesus, not your righteousness, but His. He lived the perfect sinless life on your behalf. And when you trust in Jesus as your Lord and your Savior, His righteousness is given to you. That's what He came, being born in that lowly manger, to do, to die on the cross, to save you from your sins. You could never save yourself. You could never do enough to earn your salvation with Him, to make yourself right with Him. You could never make God love you any more than He's already loved you. He sent His Son, born in a lowly manger, living a simple life of a carpenter, to come and teach us the truth and preach to us and declare to us the truth of the gospel, and to die on that cross for our sins, and to be buried in the tomb and arise on the third day. You see, there's righteousness, not perfection, but a desire to obey God when the light of Jesus Christ comes into your life. There is transformation, not from the outside in, but from the inside out. That's why Christmas matters so much. You see, Christmas is not just some simple holiday to celebrate and to admire. It is. But it's a moment to respond. It's entirely possible to sing the songs of Christmas, to hear the scriptures of Christmas, to enjoy the season of Christmas, and still miss the Savior of Christmas. Religious leaders, when Jesus was born and lived in this life, religious leaders knew the prophecies. They knew what Isaiah said here. This was one of the more prominent scriptures that they would have memorized, was the book of Isaiah. They would have studied the book of Isaiah in the rabbinical schools. They would have known it forwards and backwards, along especially with those first five books of the Bible.